Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 5. We want to look at the question, are you washed in the blood? Are you washed in the blood? Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful picture of the sinful desire in man. And Lord, how that you and you alone can heal it. And Lord, I pray that there's one here today that's never received Christ as Savior, that you would set them free by your blood. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus was willing to die on the cross for our sins. And thank you, Lord, that you take us on as your workmanship to transform us into the image of your Son. And Lord, I pray that you would just remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this two verses, we have a condition pictured that I believe represents our sinful nature. Leprosy all through the Bible was used that way to represent the sinful nature because it was incurable. And folks, every one of us have an incurable disease of sin. Sin in its the sinful nature is something that we cannot fix in and of ourselves. This poor leper ran around with this leprosy, eating away at his flesh, and there was not a thing that he could do to fix it. But he knew that in his heart. Now listen to what he says here. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was full of leprosy. I think that word full is very important. The condition with this man was hopeless apart from divine intervention. And I want you to know that your sinful nature is hopeless apart from divine intervention. You can't fix that. You can cover it up. Now, if this leper didn't want anybody to know that he was a leper, he could have put on long sleeve shirts and gloves. He could have put a ski mask on and just peeked out through the holes and had his feet completely covered, and then the world would not have known that he was a leper, but he was still a leper. It's the same with us. We can make a set of rules, and we can pretend that we don't have a sinful nature. We can go around looking good, talking good, acting good, but we still have a sinful nature. And we're not any closer to being holy than we were when we started because the sinful nature is incurable. We can't do a thing about it, even though we try. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says we're dirty. Listen to what he says. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. I want you to know here that what he's talking about is our depraved, sinful nature. The sinful desires of our heart before God are as an unclean thing. Now, there again, we may have that all covered up real nicely. And we may all look for everybody else like we're really together. But the Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And every one of us who is examined by God would have to say with Isaiah, we're all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses, verse filthy rags, we have an incurable sinful nature. Bible also says that we are depraved. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. We are helpless apart from Jesus. Now, when God first introduces us to his righteousness, and when he begins to show us that we're not what we ought to be, the correct response and the natural response is to try to clean our lives up. The Bible says that everything that can be known about God is clearly revealed unto the creature, so that we're without excuse. And we understand that the things that are were made by God, who is not a created being. All of that's understood. You can call yourself an atheist. You can call yourself anything you want, but you know that in your heart, unless you have hardened your heart long enough to put it away from you. Now, in that condition, we need a Savior. We need somebody to come and lift us out of the miry clay and set our feet on the solid rock. Because the more we wiggle, the deeper we get. Amen? The more we struggle, the more we reveal just what our nature is all about. Bible also says that our condition is doomed. Just like that leper knows there's an end coming for him. The fingers fall off, the toes fall off, the flesh begins to decay, and finally death occurs. We all have the sentence of death on us because of our sinful nature. Listen, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Right now, the wrath of God is abiding on every lost person, waiting for that day when God's wrath will fall. Right now, it's held back by God's mercy, but mercy will end at the grave. It's not a very pretty condition, is it? Here we have man who knows there's a God, knows that one day he's going to have to stand before a holy God, and all he has to take with him is a sinful nature. You see, that condition, just like a leper, is hopeless without divine intervention. Now I want you to see the cry. Without understanding the condition, you cannot put forth the cry in its proper way. I can't stress that enough. The why not Christians are not going to make it to heaven. The people who really don't see their condition think they might need a little help in being more holy. And they say, well, if it's that easy, why not? All I got to do is pray a prayer. Why not? The cry cannot come properly until we understand our condition. When we understand that we are totally depraved, we have no hope apart from divine intervention, we cannot make the cry as this leper did. And you can imagine the pitiful cry of this leper, who by chance in his mind, not by chance in God's mind, but in his mind, by chance, he came to the only person on the planet who could do something about his condition. And that was Jesus. Listen to what he says. Verse 12 of our text. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I love that. In that, you see the need, and in that you see the faith. He believed that God could make him clean. Not that God could help him. Not that God could strengthen him. That God could give him a good example. That God could teach him the rules. He believed that God could make him clean. And that's saving faith. When we believe that God can heal the problem that we have in our sinful nature, that's saving faith. Now, perception is extremely important. Look with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now notice he's given us a little label here for these people he's going to talk about. There are those, and they're not far from us. Matter of fact, they are us. Who trust in themselves and despise others. Now you say, wait a minute, that's not me. That's not me. Is it not? When you are a lost person struggling to do well, until you get to the place where you realize that you are hopeless and helpless, your plan's working so far. Somebody said an optimist, the definition of an optimist is somebody who jumps out of a 20-story building and every floor he goes by, he says, it's all right so far. Any plan will work until the judgment day. It is after we have exhausted all of our ability and after we have come to the end of self that we can come to Christ. And so Christ is trying to show that to these people who trusted in themselves. Up until the time that we stop trusting in ourselves, we cannot fully trust in Christ. Notice what he says here. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now I want you to listen to what Jesus is saying here. The Pharisee was describing his outward actions. He thought there was a difference between sin in the flesh and sin in the soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions are the seat of the sinful nature. And as long as that sinful nature is there, we're sinful. No matter what the outside looks like. Now the difference in these two men was not that one was a sinner and one was not. The difference is one knew it and one didn't. The publican had nothing that he could claim as righteousness. The Pharisee did. The Pharisee said, I do this, I do this, I do this, and I do this. And the publican said, I haven't got any of that. I don't need an examination. I don't need instruction. I need a Savior. And whenever we make that cry, God's listening. Now I want you to see the promise. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice that there is a process that we go through. We cannot trust in God until we stop trusting in ourselves. As long as there is a little bit of our faith in our goodness, there is not enough faith in Christ. He tells us that from the parable of the pearl of great price. when the merchant man was seeking goodly pearls, he was doing things and trying to stop doing things. And all these he was counting as goodly pearls. And one day he was going to lay out that pearl collection before God and hope that that was enough to get him into heaven. But then he found that one pearl of great price. When he found that one pearl of great price, in order to buy that pearl, he had to completely liquidate. Now, we buy into Christ through faith. And it is the faith that must be liquidated. Now, what is that faith in? Our faith in our good works, the faith in all that we have done and all that we have quit doing. All those things are good things. It's a good thing that you're in church this morning, but it won't take you to heaven. It won't take you to heaven at all. It won't get you one step closer to heaven. And so whenever we liquidate all of our faith and everything else and put our faith in Jesus Christ, that's when we're trusting Christ for our salvation. Now let's look at the plea. Psalm 52, verse 1 through 7. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now notice what he says. You're looking for righteousness in the inward parts. You see, that's the part that we can't get to. That's the real sinful nature. We can't deal with that. Only God can deal with that. And so when we come to Christ, we can't make deals. You know, I tried to make deals for a long time. Lord, if you'll forgive me one more time, I promise I'll never do it again. You ever made a deal like that? How long did yours last? Not very long. Mine didn't either. But you see, the real cry that God's listening for is, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because I can't help myself. And if you will, you can make me clean. Now let's look at the cleansing. Verse 13. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. I love that. Here we have someone who is hopelessly and helplessly ill. There is no recovery for leprosy apart from divine intervention. But with Jesus, it wasn't difficult. He didn't have to pray over him. He didn't have to do it. He just said, I will, you're clean. And that's what he can do for us. He can touch us and cleanse us just like that. And he stands ready to do that. God is the cleaner. He is the one that does all the cleansing. I don't help him, you don't help him. Listen to what Titus 3 through 7 says. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The method, the The vehicle that God uses to save us is grace. Listen to what Titus 2:11 says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace is the vehicle that saves. And it is there. It is ready. And it is able to save that soul that understands the need. But until you understand the need, God doesn't help people save themselves. Mark it down. God's not ever going to help you save yourself. He saves sinners. Hopeless, helpless sinners. And when we get to that place where we see ourselves, we're already at the place, but we have to get to the place where we see ourselves as helpless, hopeless sinners. And then we can cry out to God. And His grace is sufficient. Let's look at the gift. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want you to see that God has a cure for your sinful nature. He can fix it. And after we are saved, many times we rewind, we go right back to where we started, and we start the sanctification process the same way that we start the salvation process. We start trying harder. We purpose in our heart not to sin. We quit several times a day. And we struggle, and we struggle, and we struggle. Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you in so soon departing from him that has saved you? This one thing will I know of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the deeds of the law? Assuming they're going to answer by the hearing of faith. He says, why then are you now made perfect by the deeds of the law? You see, the same process that brings salvation brings sanctification. Folks, you are not sanctified. I am not sanctified until I lose my desire for sin. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, you say, if you kill, you're in danger of hellfire. He said, I say, if you hate, you're in danger of hellfire. Most of the time, all that does, we say, okay, I've got to quit hating. That's not the point. He says, you say, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. So we say, okay, no bad thoughts. Put the blinders on. It's not the point. Jesus is saying, you cannot be righteous while you still have sinful desire in your heart. Any more than the leper can claim to be sanctified just because he's got all of his leprosy covered up. How are you doing at covering up your leprosy as Christians? Some of it oozes out once in a while, doesn't it? Every once in a while it shows up in the flesh. Why? Because it's still there. And whenever you get to the end of all your effort and your clothing and your hiding and everything else, I want you to know, Jesus can deal with your sinful nature. And there must come a time in your life and in my life when, just as before we got saved, we exhaust all human effort. And we finally admit to ourselves and to God, I have an incurable sin problem. But if you will, you can make me clean. And you know what Jesus' answer is to that? I will be clean. Now, are you washed in the blood? I don't just mean for salvation. I mean for sanctification. Have you ever learned that the real problem in your life is not that you can't keep it all covered up, but that it's there and you can't touch it? There's not a thing in the world you can do about your sinful nature. You have to bring it to Jesus and let Him, through the power of His grace, take away your desire for sin. You know how that works? You just ask Him, just like this leper. If you will, you can make me clean. You believe that this morning? We are not to wrestle with the devil. We're to resist the devil. We are to simply come before Jesus and say, Lord, I've got a problem I can't fix here. God makes demands on us that we will never be able to fulfill until He deals with our sinful nature. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. What does that do to you when you hear that? Does that call you to try harder? Or do you want to go to Jesus and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? If you will, you can make me clean and lay yourself before Him. And when you do that, He will deal with the problem. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. This morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to know Jesus is passing by. If you will call upon Him, He will save you by His grace. If you're here as a Christian and you've struggled for years wrestling with your sinful nature, I want you to know Jesus can fix the sinful nature. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now the Jews who were listening to Him said, how can you say we'll be set free? We've never been in bondage to anybody. Jesus said, anybody who is the servant of sin is in bondage. If you commit sin, you're the servant of sin. But when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Are you free indeed this morning? If you're not, call on the name of the Lord and ask Him to set you free. Lord, we come before Your throne. Thank You for Jesus that died on the cross for our sins. Thank You for grace that can deal with the part of us that we can't touch. Lord, I pray for victory for everyone that's here this morning. Not by human effort, not by works of righteousness, but by Your Spirit. Lord, I pray for that soul that's nearest hell that You would save them by Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray.